Three billionaires own more wealth than the bottom half of America, 160 million people. While this statistic might sound abstract, its reality plays out every day in emergency rooms, where families choose between insulin and rent, in Amazon warehouses where workers collapse from heat exhaustion, and in towns where the local newspaper shuttered because it wasn't profitable enough. We live in the wealthiest nation in history, yet 60% of Americans can't afford a $1,000 emergency. This isn't an accident or natural market outcome. The system works exactly as designed, just not for you. When Jeff Bezos added $65 billion to his fortune during a pandemic that killed his warehouse workers, when pharmaceutical companies charge $300 for insulin that costs $10 to produce, when three Wall Street firms control $20 trillion while dictating policy to both political parties, this is capitalism functioning perfectly for those who own it. The question isn't whether you should be angry. It's whether you're angry enough to demand something different. Money doesn't just influence American politics, it is American politics. In 2020, lobbying hit $3.5 billion, with pharmaceutical companies alone spending over $300 million to keep drug prices unregulated. This isn't democracy. It's a protection racket where corporations pay politicians to write profit-boosting laws while gutting worker protections and environmental safeguards. The mechanics are simple. Senators need millions for re-election. Corporate PACs provide those millions, with expectations attached. When pharmaceutical lobbyists outnumber Congress members 3-1, America pays the world's highest drug prices. The concentration extends beyond campaign finance. Six corporations control 90% of American media, shaping what we see and think matters. BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, managing over $20 trillion combined, are major shareholders in supposedly competing media companies, pharmaceutical giants, fossil fuel corporations, and weapons manufacturers. When every major institution answers to the same financial overlords, democracy becomes theater. Something unprecedented happened in 2016 and 2020. A 79-year-old Vermont senator built a presidential campaign rejecting modern political rules. No corporate PACs or billionaire donors, just millions of Americans contributing an average of $18 each, raising hundreds of millions. The campaign proved politicians could be financially independent from corporate control, breaking the establishment's gatekeeping power. The true revolution was ideological. Ideas dismissed as fringe fantasy, Medicare for all, free public college, $15 minimum wage, Green New Deal, suddenly dominated Democratic debates. Polls showed overwhelming public support, revealing a stark disconnect between what Americans wanted and what politicians claimed was realistic. Though establishment candidates won the nomination, the movement fundamentally shifted American discourse. Progressive candidates won congressional seats nationwide. Among voters under 40, democratic socialism became more popular than unfettered capitalism. The Overton window had moved. This wasn't a failed campaign. It was the opening battle in a longer war for America's economic future. Americans pay $12,530 per person annually, double what other wealthy nations spend, yet rank 30th globally in health outcomes. Insurance companies, which provide zero actual health care, consume 15 to 30% of every dollar in administrative overhead. Even with insurance, a cancer diagnosis can mean bankruptcy. The cruelty is intentional. Insurance companies profit by denying coverage, collecting premiums while minimizing payouts. Prior authorization forces doctors to spend hours justifying treatments to bureaucrats with no medical training. Patients ration insulin, skip cancer treatments, and avoid ambulances because a ride costs $3,000. Every year, 60,000 Americans die from preventable causes because they couldn't afford care, equivalent to 29/11 attacks annually, met with complete political indifference. The pandemic exposed this failure catastrophically. As millions lost jobs, they simultaneously lost health insurance because in America alone, healthcare depends on employment. This job lock traps workers and stifles entrepreneurship, maintained because insurance and pharmaceutical companies spend hundreds of millions lobbying to preserve their profitable dysfunction. Meanwhile, Medicare operates with 2% administrative overhead, compared to private insurance's 15 to 30%. Expanding it would save $650 billion annually. Every other wealthy nation has figured this out. The question isn't whether universal healthcare works, it's whether America will prioritize human life over insurance company profits. For three decades after World War II, productivity gains translated directly to wage increases through strong unions. Then the relationship shattered. Between 1979 and 2020, productivity rose 62%, while worker pay grew just 17%. That wealth flowed to CEOs, compensation up 1,322%, and shareholders. Reagan's 1981 firing of striking air traffic controllers signaled government support for corporations over workers. Union membership collapsed from 35% to 6% in the private sector as companies deployed union-busting consultants and illegally fired organizers. Workers attempting to unionize today face a 1 in 5 chance of termination. Amazon epitomizes this model. The company earned $36 billion profit in 2021 while paying zero federal income taxes. Algorithm-tracked warehouse workers suffer injury rates 2.5 times the industry average. Bezos added $65 billion to his wealth during the pandemic while maintaining 150% annual warehouse turnover through deliberately unsustainable conditions. Union decline destroyed more than wages. It eliminated workers' political power to mobilize voters and fund labor-friendly candidates. Rebuilding union power is essential for rebalancing an economy where corporations wield absolute power. Technology should liberate us from drudgery, yet it's becoming another tool for concentrating wealth and power. The World Economic Forum estimates AI and robotics could replace 30-40% of jobs within a decade. Self-checkout kiosks eliminate cashiers. Autonomous vehicles threaten truckers. Warehouse robots displace workers. And AI systems increasingly perform tasks once requiring human judgment. Amazon's warehouses exemplify this shift. Robots force remaining workers to match machine pace without bathroom breaks. AI systems now write news articles, diagnose medical conditions, and make lending decisions. The optimistic 1960s vision of automation creating leisure has been replaced by displaced workers facing unemployment or grueling gig economy jobs without benefits. The question isn't whether automation continues, it will. The question is who benefits. Currently, productivity gains flow entirely to owners, while workers are discarded. We need policies ensuring technology serves humanity, robot taxes funding social programs, mandatory worker ownership stakes, shorter work weeks, and robust safety nets. Without intervention, we're heading toward a tiny elite owning the machines while masses struggle to survive. Tech billionaires present themselves as visionaries, but their vision looks dystopian for most people. Elon Musk fantasizes about Mars colonies while Tesla workers face unsafe conditions. Mark Zuckerberg builds a metaverse while Facebook's algorithms spread misinformation. These men aren't planning a future that includes you. They're planning one where they own everything and you're irrelevant. Every transformative movement in American history, abolition, suffrage, civil rights, labor organizing, faced dismissal as too radical, too expensive, too disruptive. Yet each succeeded because people recognized the status quo was intolerable and organized collectively to change it. We face a similar crossroads. The choice isn't between bold change and cautious incrementalism. It's between transformation and collapse. Climate catastrophe won't wait. Workers can't endure another generation of stagnant wages. Families bankrupted by medical bills need solutions now. You can't reform your way out of oligarchy. You have to dismantle it. Build a movement that operates continuously, not just during elections. Create organizations in every community that fight for economic justice, support workers, challenge corporate power, and run candidates who refuse corporate money. Stop accepting artificial constraints on what's politically possible when those constraints are set by billionaires benefiting from the status quo. Oligarchs won't surrender power voluntarily. They'll use media to mock transformative ideas and threaten economic catastrophe. But their power depends on our acceptance. When enough people organize, no amount of wealth can stop them. History proves change is possible. The question is whether you're ready to fight for it. Nobody's coming to save us. We save ourselves, together, or we don't get saved at all.